Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God for the worship service. Michael, Dennis, the whole team, give them a big clap, will you? Hallelujah. The Lord is hovering this morning. I can really sense the power of the glory of God that He is hovering over each of you individually. He's hovering over us as families, and that there is a grace and glory coming over our children, grandchildren, wherever they are.
Yeah.
That just like she reminded me of that word, that the Lord specifically in about 1,000 people some time back gave me the name of this lady's son. Was not there. I never met her. But the glory delivered him right that very moment. So you are a point of contact. Remember that. Not just for yourself, but for loved ones, for neighbors, for especially for our children and grandchildren. Alrighty, raise your hand. Say after me out loud, boldly, I believe in God.
I believe in God.
The Father Almighty.
The Father Almighty.
Maker of heaven and earth.
Maker of heaven and earth.
And in Jesus Christ.
And in Jesus Christ.
His only Son.
His only Son.
Our Lord.
Our Lord.
Who was conceived of the Holy Spirit.
Who was conceived of the Holy Spirit.
Born of the Virgin Mary.
Born of the Virgin Mary.
Suffered under Pontius Pilate.
Suffered under Pontius Pilate.
Was crucified, dead, and buried.
Was crucified, dead, and buried.
He descended into hell.
He descended into hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead.
The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven.
He ascended into heaven.
He sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
And he sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From whence he shall come.
From whence he shall come.
To judge the living and the dead.
To judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
The Church Universal.
The Church Universal.
The communion of saints.
The communion of saints.
The forgiveness of sin.
The forgiveness of sins.
The resurrection of the body.
The resurrection of the body.
And the life everlasting.
And the life everlasting.
I believe in Jesus.
I believe in Jesus.
I believe in his resurrection.
I believe in his resurrection.
Therefore.
I believe.
In miracles.
Signs.
Wonders.
Wonders.
Breakthroughs.
I'm claiming.
A miracle. Breakthrough.
For my family.
For myself.
For my neighbor.
Now turn to a neighbor and say breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
Turn to your other neighbor and say miracle.
Miracle.
Hallelujah. Now give the Lord a big clap. Say thank you, Father. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Woo! Praise God. I'll tell you. You may be seated. Hug somebody if you have not hugged anybody. But there is power in the name of Jesus today. I just want you to know. Here and those watching us, I so appreciate that testimony from her name is Anandi. Anandi in Indian means joy. You didn't know that. Even though you are an expert in Greek. Anyway, was not Greek, though.
No, I confess to you that Scott and I were having a brief discussion about how language is going backwards, and now everybody are using a modern form of hieroglyphics, which really, writing started as, you know, little images on cave walls and stuff. And now we pretty much use our phones to go tick, tick, tick. And it's image that means a lot, you know. You know what I'm saying? Pastor, the Apostles' Creed is the gospel. It is the gospel. It's so significant because in those few minutes, we get to remind ourselves, make a declaration, and have the understanding to be able to share the hope that is within us with anyone with ease and simplicity. The Apostles' Creed, it's all right there. The whole package of the revelation of the good news.
Amen.
It's amazing. And I'm so thankful that we get that deep into our spirits. And so often, you know, in the spirit-filled, non-denominational churches, it's not much of the tradition or the quote-unquote liturgy. We have our own liturgy, but, you know, that group of churches, whether we think so or not. But there, time and again, people are so surprised. You guys take communion and you say the Apostles' Creed. And we're like, yeah. Yeah. Say yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome. The best family in the world.
Yay.
Wow.
Believe that.
And Rosh Hashanah. What a time.
Yeah.
Right?
That's totally true. We are in that time frame of this high holidays. And we started Wednesday, Thursday on, that was the beginning of the high holidays, the Feast of Trumpets. And then in 5 days, we have the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And then a few days later, we'll enter the season of the Feast of Tabernacles. And those are the feasts of the Lord.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it's God not only talks about fast, but feast. Praise
Yay. You,
Jesus. So, but I want to commend you, each of you. I saw the hands out there who joined together to fast and pray. This time we chose 21-day corporate fast, and it's also called the Daniel fast. That's a 21-day fast in the Bible. And then there is an Esther fast. That's 3 days. Then there is the Jesus fast and the Moses fast, which is 40 days. But God gives us grace. So he's so grateful that we can do it. I'll tell you, it is always something awesome happens during and after a fast. Sometimes you may not see the result of the prayer until after the fast, because we made a joke many years ago saying if God gives you the fast right then, during the fast, and answer to prayer, then you will fast yourself to death sometimes, because you'll see so many breakthroughs immediately. But there is a breakthrough. Say breakthrough.
Amen. Breakthrough.
Even for this fast. So I'm glad. I want to congratulate, commend you. And we have been praying for different and agreeing in prayer for different needs. But this, we want to enter into the faith, into what this new year, this is, as we talk about the new year blessings, it's great. We often, this is in our secular calendar. We have January 1st, Happy New Year, yay, at midnight. And we watch and we, it's what? It's great. But on God's calendar, it's in Leviticus. God himself mentions this time of the year as the beginning of the Jewish calendar, New Year, and that there is awesome double sweetness that God lines up for you for the whole year. During this season, we get ourselves ready for what God's about to
Hallelujah.
Do this coming year, okay?
Yes, yes.
Glory to God. Yeah. So this is the season of the Feast of Trumpets. So I'm going to blow the shofar over you, and we just are blowing the shofar of victory over your children, of financial breakthrough and supernatural provision that you're going
Hallelujah.
To get your harvest. Say, I'm going to get my harvest.
I'm going to get my harvest.
Because
Come
this
on.
Is also the harvest season.
Yes.
Hallelujah. This is a different, there it is.
Hallelujah. Yes. Come on. Hallelujah. Yes. We receive.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We decree over you, Psalm 115:14, the Lord increase you more and more. Say more and more. You and your children, you and your house, more and more. Increase, more and more. Increase.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Say, me and my children.
Me and my children.
Don't forget, it's
Hallelujah.
Always, it's wonderful when the presence of God comes.
Yeah.
You see that again and again in the book of Acts. He and his household.
Yep.
So it is you can line up for household blessing. Does not matter where your kids are. And how many of your kids, even today, one of your children or grandchildren needs a breakthrough? All right?
Now, Lord.
How many of you know a neighbor who needs a breakthrough? So you are a point of contact this morning. Number one, get in line for your breakthrough. All right? The Word of God is alive and active and full of power.
Amen.
And it has, God has an assignment for you today. He's sending his word.
Thank you,
to
Lord.
Encourage you, to increase you. And then we are in agreement for every prayer need that you have. That's why we come together where two or more are gathered together. God says, especially when the end draws near, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. Why did he say that? Because he knew it would be necessary that there would be a spiritual force active in the world, the spirit of Antichrist, that will try to separate us, try to make us isolated. And then when you get isolated, you can get picked off by the enemy.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be a lone goose. Remember the geese that we have talked about. When you fly in a flock, it becomes minimum 70% easier to fly together than the lone goose going and get shot. A lone goose gets shot very easily.
As you well know.
As I well know. And we have celebrated by eating the lone goose for Christmas. So
God bless us, everyone.
Yes, and you are the one who cooked it. So I want to spend a few moments this morning, Bonnie and I wanted to just talk a little about facing the future with the presence of God with us. Facing the future. Say, I'm facing the future.
I'm facing the future.
And you face the future with confidence, with anointing, with the presence of the glory, the Shekinah with you. And it changes the definition of how you're walking. Now, number one, I wanted to thank you, by the way, for your presence last week. You guys all joined and set your hand out and blessed me. I so appreciate the the outreach. That this is an outreach meeting to the whole city of Chicago. It's not the ministry through which I go through help Chicago. It's non-denominational, and it's not allied to any one particular church. And so we have people from so many different backgrounds, and I laid hands on about 1,000 people, and it was late in the night when we got through. But the Lord would give words for almost everyone. It's amazing how much the Lord cares for people. But your prayers helped us, and I'm surprised how many gave their lives to the Lord. How many got zapped, the Holy Spirit, baptized the Holy Spirit with the prayer language, and then just desperate needs of people. I've got to pray for a lady that I've not seen too many people. I don't know how many of you have ever seen a person from Mongolia. Have you ever met someone from Mongolia? It's not that often. And she was from the steppes. She was from the boonies of Mongolia. And she got the anointing.
Hallelujah.
And she got the zap. It was wonderful to pray for her.
Lord.
And I gave her one of my books, too. But we had the outreach there. And I would really like for you to pray for us, for Bonnie and I. cover us this week, because we are doing a special outreach for San Diego. Both Bonnie and I will be there reaching out to the city of San Diego. So our nation, I feel like, is in a wonderful, it's like a season of pregnancy, that there are things being birthed.
Yes.
And we can do it together. Yeah. It's your prayers and your intercession, our strength together. Remember that daily, except for the Sabbath, and I think we do it another way, but we feed the poor in Jerusalem. We're involved in helping there. We help in giving strength to the Indian reservations. And our community together sent very strong help to the restoration for Houston and even for Florida. So it's together we are able to reach out and bless people, and then above all, give them the Word of God full of power and miracles, and then God gives the breakthrough, breaks the yoke. And it's an ongoing commission. And so in this time frame, I wanted to read a scripture first, because it's quite amazing how it fits in our time frame. And I wanted to just address some issues in it. And it is, you may turn to the book of Acts chapter 27. And it says, when it was decided that we should sail to Italy. They delivered Paul and some other prisoner to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So this is talking about the Apostle Paul. This is about approximately 2,000 years ago. This is a great apostle of God. He is on a mission sent by God. He has to go to Rome to proclaim the glory of Jesus into the court of Caesar. So entering a ship of Arimathea, we put to sea, meaning to sail on the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. Now you see, here this is real stuff. I mean, it's not just theology. This is things happening in the lives of real people. But this is about 2,000 years ago, but you will see them in the cloud of witnesses. When you go up there, they'll be there saying, "Howdy, I am the one. I am Aristarchus," as he talked about in Acts chapter 27. Julius treated Paul kindly. When we had put out to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. Now it gets interesting. When we had sailed over the sea, which is of Sicilia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, city of Lucia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board when we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus. The wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salmone. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lasia. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over. So this is the season.
Yeah.
See, this is around this time of the year 2,000 years ago, the fast. This is Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
So it was like this is just a couple of days after Yom Kippur. So it's in a season that they have been going through, just like right now, the Feast of Trumpets. We're entering the Day of Atonement. It's also called the Day of the Fast, Yom Kippur. So this is, at this time of the year, Paul advised them saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives." So he was getting an impression from God.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. Because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous wind arose called Euroclydon. Now, the New International Version says, a hurricane force wind rose called Euroclydon. So it was a kind of, in the Atlantic region, we call it hurricanes. But in the Mediterranean and Indian and Pacific Ocean, especially the Indian and Mediterranean, they are called cyclones. See, it's the same, the wind force, but it's a little different direction. But so this was Euroclydon, but it's a hurricane. So just as we have gone this last few weeks through the hurricane season, here is Paul in a ship having to sail with some legionnaires and others to Rome, and they are caught in the middle of a hurricane. And so when the ship was caught, so there in the middle of the hurricane, and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship. Fearing lest they should run aground on the surface sands, they struck sail and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, they started throwing things off the ship. The third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, So just think, it's dark. The storm, the hurricane gale wind force is blowing over them. They cannot see the sun. They cannot see the stars. And a big giant storm beat on them. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred the disaster and loss. Now I urge you to take heart, for there'll be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God, to whom I belong and whom I serve." Say, "To whom I belong."
To whom I belong.
"And whom I serve."
And whom I serve.
And this angel says, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar." Yeah. So he has an assignment. Yeah. "And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you."
Amazing.
It's great to be with the servants of God.
Wow.
Because
yes, it is.
Lord will, God, Paul said, "I'm going to take care." The Lord says to Paul, "I'm going to take care of you. And by the way, those guys traveling with you, they'll be taken care of too."
Wow.
"I'm with you, Paul. Me and you, Paul, always." "Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as you told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island." So this is in the middle of the storm. God gives his people his presence and his word. It doesn't matter what the others will be in total terror, but we cannot allow ourselves to be defined. God does not want you to be defined by fear and by terror. God, his presence is with you. In fact, he sends an angel with a message personally to Paul saying, "Hey, I'm with you. You're going to be fine. You have an assignment. You're going to complete that.
Yeah.
And by the way, everybody that's with you is going to be safe. They're going to be alive. So there's no reason to fear." And therefore, I just wanted to put this word in context for us and see what God is saying and hearing for on behalf of yourself, myself, and for the church of Jesus Christ. See, I mean, it's not only the stormy winds we have gone through right now, but there are also, when things happen in the natural, there are also gale force winds blowing spiritually too.
Yeah.
First in the natural, then in the spiritual. And you need certain things. Now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that we were drawing near some land. They took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And where they'd gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stem and for day to come. 4 anchors. Say 4 anchors.
4 anchors. That,
the Lord quickened these 4 anchors.
That's good. That's awesome.
You can drop 4 anchors. They'll keep you stable in the time of storm. But the reaction often, and we have seen it again in this season, but we have gone through these kind of things over and over. But, and it's like, you know what, there's nothing new under the sun, but there was a whole bunch of stuff going around. I was even asked about this in Chicago this week, that there are people saying the end of the world is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And there was someone else, "I believe Saturday is the day."
Here we are.
And I'm so glad we made it. And they're talking about, and Jesus is coming, all that. But there are all kinds of, in these kinds of days, we have gone through it, and we were also with some of the greatest at certain, in our younger days, when we were beginning our ministry, and I was right there every day with the world's, among perhaps the world's premier Bible scholar and authority in the Word of God, Derek Prince. And then we had great servants right there living with us day by day. Don Basham, Bob Mumford. These are some of the greatest teachers about 45, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we would have to, and I was the junior Jedi, and I would see them how they were handling this, and there were all kinds of stuff. And every few months we would get this, the world is right. ending, and get food.
Yep.
By whole bunches of food. Have you heard that? Now, we eventually, I remember 40 years ago, we gave in to, not because everybody in there said, you should do it as an example. So I knew yep. we were going to waste it, but we bet, we what,
rainy
several
day
hundred.
Foods.
Yeah. And we collected.
Had a ship on the box with the big rain, you know, Noah coming down. I think we finally threw all those boxes away about 10 years after they'd expired and, you know, whatever. But I would like to say something about the theology of this for a moment, and then
yes.
I want you to go with your four anchors. There is, in Scripture, it literally says that men live in fearful expectation of judgment. That is saying that there is an innate understanding, a sense in the human race that occurred when Adam abdicated and left God. And we inherited that gene, if you will. But in Jesus, we have been recreated. And our mind, will, and emotion need to catch up with what occurred when we were born again. The last Adam, the second man, has become a life-giving spirit. And it says very clearly, and you read it again in the Apostles' Creed, we declared it again, that, and this is what Scripture says, that yes, judgment is coming. But guess what the Bible says? That it is coming when Jesus appears. Can we let that sink in? When Jesus appears, look at your neighbor and say, he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness. And his peoples with his peace. And his reward to the evil and the good is with him when he comes. So friends, in the meantime, it's very important that we allow the reality of what has occurred in the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He was coronated king over all, and he has begun to reign through his church on the earth. In the meantime, the earth itself and all the natural powers and the forces of the world and all those sitting in darkness who are still living consciously or unconsciously with that genetic thing of knowing that man deserves judgment from a righteous, holy God because we've departed. We've become something other than what we were created to be in communion with him in his likeness and image. So there is that there. But Jesus in the cross is the judge, judged in our place. And so now the human race, and in fact the whole world, is in a period of amnesty. Can you say amnesty?
Amnesty.
Amnesty is a legal decision that is made by a court for a whole group of people that have offended an entire government and deserve the penalty of high treason. And what Jesus did in his body as the judge, he took the judgment on himself. And so now that is why this gospel is good news, because it is saying to the whole earth and all the human race, until he appears, you have amnesty. You can receive it. Do you want the amnesty decree? Here it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and the great exchange there. So the idea that again and again Christians initiate these waves of what's going on in the earth, the terrible things are the judgment of God. No, what's going on in the earth is a combination of the earth itself that is pregnant and is responding to her creator because she sees that he is literally at the door. It's the woman giving birth. That baby is just pushing to the point of almost appearing. And that is the appearing of the Lord. And Jesus said that as we draw nearer to his appearing, the earth will go into these labor pangs of storms, of famines. Wars will rise. Ethnic division and trouble will really kick up. And he said, when you see these things, guess what? It's your sign that I'm on the way. I'm almost there. And so for the church, it is to anchor in the storm and begin all the more to do what we're commissioned to do. Ambassadors delivering this good news. You have amnesty until he comes. Take it, because when he comes, you will have that righteous decree for your life. And so we need, I brought a little sign. You probably can't read it from there. But this is my personal protest against the next new wave of all of the Christian literature talking about God judging America, God judging this, God judging that. It simply says, not to spoil the ending, but everything's going to be okay. Because the judge was judged in our place. And the Apostles' Creed gives us the whole theology of the gospel very clearly. And if we believe it, we will be able to do what Ron encouraged us to do when he gave us the word in the watch about being in the eye of the storm. Staying in that place with all of the chaos swirling around us, of being in that place of God's shalom and in that context of not being moved by the storm, but having our four anchors down.
Amen. 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 And I so remember clearly in that, as I was a young pastor with Derek, and he loved to preach from Luke 21 as one of the Matthew 24 and Luke 20. And then he would emphasize Jesus saying about these end times and signs, and the intensity of some of these manifestations will get more and more intense, just like the labor pains get more closer when a woman is about to give birth. And that he would always put that, that's what Jesus is talking about. And in that as you see these things, he said, the word says in Luke 21, look up.
Yes.
If you see these things, look up. Your redemption is drawing near. Yeah. And then he would elucidate on the Greek meaning of look up. And it's full of joy, full of optimism.
Yeah.
Optimism. It is.
Yeah.
The answer is coming. It's here. I'm so glad. Our Lord is right here. There's nothing to be fearful or depressed about or get full of anxiety and terror. We should be the opposite. Be the examples of the greatest peace and joy and fun, because we have the answer. The world out there does not, but we carry the answer, who's Jesus Christ, the Lord, and he's the power of his Holy Spirit. So here, there is an instruction Paul gets from the Lord. He is not necessarily a weathercaster or an expert on weather and climate change.
Which is another one. And honestly, what the climate change is not recognizing is what the Bible itself says, that these events, the earth will wear out like a garment. Hello. Climate change. Yes, we're called to be good stewards. But these are events coming together because his appearing is at hand.
Amen. Most of these climate change people you find are doing it so they can get free money from our taxes. You know, I'll stop with that.
Hallelujah.
verse 31 says, Paul said to the centurion, the soldiers, he's getting a word from the Lord and he's giving it to these people. Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Unless they stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Tell your neighbor, stay in the ship.
Stay in the ship.
Turn to the other neighbor. Say, stay in the ship, neighbor.
Stay in the ship.
So these spiritual forces, they'll try to get you isolated.
Yeah.
They'll get you fearful and make you jump ship and drown there.
Yeah.
Being isolated, I don't know. I was talking to someone and last couple of days, and we were talking about getting isolated. Now, knew of it. Just the example came to my mind of family I knew personally. Just he was one of the most brilliant men, had a great government job, and his wife was awesome too. And I stayed in their home, so I knew them very much. And one day he thought he had heard from God that basically he became an extreme prepper and felt like everything else was a conspiracy, and started isolating himself. And basically he made his wife and children, all of them, jump ship. He bought, I won't say any much except which state, but he took one of the northern states, bought a piece of property way in the forest region where most of it was U.S. government forest protection. But he found a few acres he could buy and isolate and made himself a teepee and lived for years. And his children never went to school.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he cut himself off. There had no documentation that they existed in the U.S. I mean, it was weird.
Yeah.
But there are situations where people get themselves completely cut off from other people. And more they get isolated. And the word of the Lord is, forsake not the assembling of yourself.
Right.
The more we are together as a community, the more strength we have, the more encouragement we can give to each other, and more effective in the work of the Lord that we can be. So we cannot, in this kind of season, do not allow things to make us jump ship and get killed.
It's good.
All right?
Anchor.
Let's stay in the ship. And so they put down the four anchors. And by the way, Paul, perfect timing. Paul implored them all to take food. So the fast is going to be over in 2-3 days.
So we implore you all, take food. Fast is ending.
So therefore, I urge you to take nourishment. Verse 34. For this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. How about that? That's a word from God. Not a hair will be harmed, okay? God is your shield. He is your dwelling place for you, your children. You cannot make weird decisions suddenly. We had some, a little while back, I remember the word that came, California is going to fall off into the ocean. Remember?
Again.
And it's coming again. I said, oh, Lord. Anyway. But there was a wonderful family. I knew a man whose parents were in that area, and they just took a loss and sold all they had, their little house. They were in retirement. And at a loss, they sold it because they knew California was going to fall. I said, no, please. There are millions of Christians living in California. God's not going to let them die like this. Anyway. So then they came, and California is still here. Praise God. My children are in California, so it better stay. But it's these kind of things.
Yeah.
We can together deal with it and pray together and get the clear word from God. I'm so cautious about making a comment because I don't want to be negative about anybody and anything. But those who sell, you know, for today, only for $1,500, you can buy this food that'll help you survive. No, get some chickens if you want and raise them. They'll feed them. That'll be better. You get eggs every day, fresh eggs.
And there's so much about all of it. If you think to the second step rationally, for instance, what about all the Christians in Houston that had bought their, and it got washed away in the flood. I mean, be common sense, be rational, rational.
They are wonderful Christians.
Yeah.
And it did flood out. Well, we just deal with it and
help each other.
It's an opportunity to help each other.
The Apostolic Church, the ancient church, they rushed into these kind of events. That was one of the major things that gave the church an evangelistic foothold to start changing the world, and that was because Christians had their apostolic creed theology about the end of things and about the events occurring, And so they rushed right in to the trouble spots. They went right in to the storms. And, you know, Pastor, with that, you're talking about the Lord being with us in the storm, like the angel that appeared to Paul. And I'm thinking about the times when Jesus fasted in the wilderness, again, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and again on the Mount of Transfiguration, when literally heaven, angels, Moses, Elijah, they came to minister to him, to be with him, and say, stay on course. Stay on course. You've got a mission, the storm to go through, stay on course. And so this is an awesome word.
So the safest thing to do in the season of storms, and we went through a season, there's still some storms coming from the Isle of Bermuda or wherever, Puerto Rico. And we bless the people of Puerto Rico right now without electricity. But the safest thing to do, spiritually and physically, of course, is in the time of storm, drop anchor. And it's time to stay on the ship. Mm-hmm. Don't jump ship, because you'll either get isolated, the waves will take you out, mm-hmm. and you could drown. Mm-hmm. And so we are dropping anchors. Be safe. And Psalm 125 says, those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. I want to be among the company of those Hallelujah. Who trust in the Lord. Say, I'm trusting in the Lord.
I'm trusting in the Lord.
And then four things we see that Paul does. That's the four anchors I was thinking of. That he is completely in alignment with the presence of God. He is in the presence. He knows that through the blood of Jesus, he is able to be accepted in the beloved. He can pray and he can stay in the presence. So it's in the presence of God is with you. Say, the presence of God.
The presence of God
is with me.
Is with me.
Is with my family.
Is with my family.
I will not be shaken.
I will not be shaken.
Amen. And see, in the presence, Amen. I mean, I think I've told you the Amen. Story. It would take a long time. But I was really, for real, in the biggest tornado supposedly to hit the landmass of the United States. I was, in 1970, I was in the Lubbock tornado with twisted entire skyscrapers. I mean, it was so powerful. You will see it. At least some say it was the most powerful in the Southwest. Some say it was the most powerful that to hit the landmass in the United States. But I was in the middle of where most of the people died. And the angel of the Lord, I mean, I was 1970, May 1970, I so clearly remember the program I turned on. I had a little black and white TV, and I came home. I was writing a research paper. I was in graduate school. And been doing researching all day. I was so tired. My brain, I needed to come home and just sit. I turned on the TV. The program was The Eye of the Storm. ABC program, special. And suddenly, exactly at 9:30, all the electricity goes off. Poof. And I said, oh, no, I don't. Oh, no. I was so kind of mad that I was about to rest and then I heard the voice of the Lord, the voice of an angel, very loud, saying, get up. Get up. Third time, get up. And I said, I'm tired. You are slightly off if you hear voices. You are even more off if you talk to them. And I talked. I'm tired. And a giant hand came out of the air and lifted me bodily until, I mean, it is one of the most uncanny, with no way to explain. My feet were dangling, so I'm lifted by the giant person and my feet are dangling, and I am saying, this is weird, and I'm fighting this. I could not understand. Sometimes if you don't know, you will fight it. I was fighting. No, let go. Whoa, wait, whoa. And that's when the force of the tornado burst and exploded every glass pane. I was painted all over in my little apartment. And they came and woof, and this pane of glass that was half of my door was a big pane of glass, and it just broke loose and shoosh, went. And it, the next day I found it embedded across from where I was sitting, so it would have decapitated me instantly. And the force of this powerful hand took me and put me behind this big giant couch. And I was still fighting, so I often make a joke. I did that in Chicago. I said, if you'll give donation to feed the poor in Jerusalem, I will let you see this scar. But I still have the scar where the angel visited me and remembered the presence of God in the middle of the storm.
Hallelujah.
And so,
yes.
Hold on. The Lord is present with you.
Amen.
Say, the Lord is present with me.
The Lord is present with you. Tell your neighbor, drop anchor.
Drop anchor.
The Lord is with you.
And then, second anchor I want to point out is, Paul says, listen, the angel told me I must stand before the presence of Caesar, before Caesar and his court. And that's God's plan. And I'm going to preach Jesus Christ in Rome. So, this storm's not going to get me. I have an assignment.
Hallelujah.
So the second anchor in this season you have is, remember, God has a purpose for you.
Hallelujah.
Say, I have a purpose. So do not get distracted by little stormy things that'll get you off your compass point.
Tell your neighbor again. Drop anchor.
Drop anchor.
You have a purpose.
So each of you, God had something on his mind when he sent the Holy Spirit, revealed Jesus to you.
Yep.
You as an individual, you as a couple, we as families, we as the church of Jesus Christ, we as All Nations Church, there is this church and this watch has a reputation. You saw just a little example of Anandi, that precious lady. She considers this her church, and she gets the word of the Lord and assignment and her word for our family from us as gathered people, as a community of faith, believing in the presence and the glory of God. So it is important. This ship has an assignment. So each of you remember, I have a destiny. Say, I have a destiny.
I have a destiny.
I have a purpose.
I have a purpose.
And some of you, I want to tell you, I'm seeing more and more the tremendous importance of watching and praying.
Yeah.
That the whole ministry, the hub ministry, it is one of the most powerful instruments God has used and is using to touch the city of Chicago. The glory is mighty. And the thing they asked me, I realized God has always met their needs. And part of the reason I felt like this time, because they pointed out, said, do you know we began our ministry, our outreach to Chicago with you leading us in an all-night watch? And that's till 6 o'clock in the morning. We prayed, we worshiped, you know, had communion at 6 in the morning. But that foundation made it so strong that no storm has been able to wipe it out. It just, and there are storms that come. We have challenges. We have different forces from the enemy that will rise up to hurt churches and ministries. It comes. It's part of the thing. But we stay strong. We stay committed. We have a vision and a destiny and a purpose. So that's part two of God's anchor. Number three, I'm going to kind of summarize it. Remember, in verse 25, in that scripture, Paul says, therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it'll be just as it was told me. Okay? Exactly like it was told me. It's going to be there. So what does that mean? The third anchor is remember God's promise.
Yeah.
So I'm remembering God's promise.
I'm remembering God's promise.
And that is important. From time to time, God will give you a key prophetic, a positive word for you, for your children. Mm-hmm. Stay on it. Mm-hmm. Do not be shaken in it. Mm-hmm. God has given me a promise. Say, God has given me a promise.
God has given me a promise.
So don't be wishy-washy then.
It's good.
In that area, it makes you,
yeah.
Yes, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then we are given together as friends and intercessors with each other so we can strengthen.
Yep.
There are times that I, as
you?
A husband, as the head of it, I can get a little shaky. It is part of the assignment of my partner to say, hey, remember what God said. Don't get wishy-washy. And so we need partners and we need friends to help encourage each other. Okay? So don't feel bad if you get, I feel a little. It's okay. It's okay. We're going to do it. We're going to make it.
Amen.
All right? We are a team. Say team.
Team.
And God, I've found all so wonderful. God always keeps his promises. And the final anchor, and you find that in Paul, that remember to pray. He prayed, and God saved about, 256, whatever the number of crew people are on the ship. Not one died. Because God answered Paul's prayer, and he kept his promise. God, today I want to, you can write this down. God is more powerful than any storm. God is greater than any storm, any hurricane. He is greater. And this week, when I, just simply from the glory, I got the name of that boy. I mean, it was just, it blesses me to hear this testimony. And I don't remember what I saw clearly, and I said, Micah, your son is Micah, and the addiction is going to go today. This was a few years ago, and it dropped instantly.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is, so, what? Basically what? Because God is more powerful than any addiction.
Hallelujah.
God is more powerful than any cancer. God is more powerful than any spirit of divorce. God is more powerful than any spirit of financial lack. We are going to plug in to the power and the glory of God.
Amen.
And in the midst of it, always, we will, the enemy will try to get you, chase away from the destiny and purpose by letting you home in on little things.
Yeah.
Remember that one of the big apostolic words I point out to leaders, to churches, and to us as individuals and families. Remember, the big defines the small.
Yeah.
Do not let the small thing, oh, he didn't greet me. She offended me. And then she was nice, not nice to me. And little things, that have separated good men from their destiny and their purpose. And you know, we can always repent and come back, but it's better not to fall for that.
Amen. So tell your neighbor, drop anchor.
Drop anchor.
Remember God's promise.
Remember God's promise.
Tell him, drop anchor.
Drop anchor.
Pray.
Pray.
Hallelujah.
And we have, you have individually, you have a purpose. And together as the Church of Jesus Christ, even this week, I mean, I
Hallelujah.
Saw here,
yeah.
if we, you know, here, the, I mean, it was great to be with an outreach to the city of Chicago. It's a, you know, talk about a mixture of so many people, so many backgrounds, but some of the most desperately needy people in the sense they need, however rich or poor, they need Jesus. And they need hope. And they need deliverance. And they need healing. And so, remember, part of your purpose is to be that we are a people of God. You are part of a community. You have an assignment. We have an assignment. There are people God's going to bring. We need people who are trained to help them. Even this conference coming up, and then the next. By the way, Lance, while I was gone, Lance Walnow texted me, and somehow I and he's coming as part of the big thing in April. Then we have Clarice Fluitt, one of the most amazing.
She's awesome. You know Clarice.
Is wow. coming in February. Yes. You got to meet her. And I was with her for a few moments in Chicago. But Clarice and there are several others that are coming. Patricia King?
Sister Jane Hammond.
Sister Jane Hammond? Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever. Yep. We are having fun time in February for the
Daughter of the Lion
Conference.
Yes.
And and you're going to see me put on a tutu and pretend to be a woman and join the women's conference as a speaker. No.
Tell your friends that would be worth coming to the conference for.
But we need there are people, hungry people coming. We need you to keep on getting equipped for the work of the ministry, to baptize to counsel people,
yes.
to pray for people. There are hungry, desperate people. Destiny and a purpose to help bless these people.
And as members of this community who relate here, very practical place besides Sunday morning, the watch on Friday night, and life groups. Life groups. Life groups. Life groups. Life groups. We have the most amazing seasoned spiritual leaders who can be there to help share your life together, give you an opportunity to exercise your gifts, help, you know, get the Lord's strategy for your life. You can get to know others. They can get to know you. Stay in the ship.
Amen. So the God's word, if I can summarize today, for us, I'm not looking for survival.
Right on.
I'm looking for revival. Amen. Revival.
Hey.
Say revival.
Revival.
Not survival.
Not survival.
As we have revival, survival will take care of itself.
Shakodia, baba.
But we are curious. You are an anointed vessel. It says in Acts 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power.
Come on.
Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with
Hallelujah.
Him.
Hallelujah.
As my Father sent me, so send I you. So God is sending us, sending you with the anointing, with Holy Ghost and power. Say Holy Ghost and power.
Holy Ghost and power.
Hallelujah. You want some more? I want more. Holy Ghost and power.
And a reminder. Your pastors have written explicitly on this entire message in fullness in Storm Warrior. And so if you don't have a copy, get a copy. Bookstore will be open. And if you read it in the past, maybe you need to dust it off and look again. Because in here, very practical handbook to equip you to be these ambassadors that are not just in for survival, but we are in for revival.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Storm Warrior.
So it's not a time to hide, run to the mountains, or hide in our cabin. It's a time to stand and be in revival.
Glory.
Be a force for the glory of God. We're going to shake off this right now. We're going to shake off any kind of shadow
Amen.
Of fear, of self-pity, of things that will make us jump ship and get isolated and drown.
Thank you, Lord.
We cannot barricade ourselves behind thick doors and in our little cabins with guns. I mean, if people are hungry, I don't have the heart to say, I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to say, here is the food. Eat. We're going to pray over the leftovers and multiply them. We're going to do that rather than. So God is calling us not to be defensive at this moment. We're going to sound the shofar. We're going to be visible. We're going to be engaged. In the great gospel offense and take the limits off of God. It was when children of Israel were faltering, God sent Moses, who had the experience of the burning bush. I believe God wants to give us fresh burning bush experiences.
Hallelujah.
When Joseph,
yes, Lord.
By the way, it was in the time of famine, he gathered up all of the storehouses of hundreds of tons of food. Mm-hmm. But when the time came, he distributed it.
Mm-hmm.
So all
Good.
The hungry got fed. So we are a Joseph company that will be able to feed thousands and thousands of people. in the time of Judges, of despondency and isolation, God raised up the story of Ruth and Boaz and a love story. I mean, it's so much fun to think of how God has brought deliverance in and through his people. When the spirit of Antichrist was going to kill all the children of Israel the Jews in a foreign land, God raised up Esther to deliver them all. So this is the time for the church to rise.
Yeah, it goes on and on and on. Again, coming right back to Rosh Hashanah, the 100 shofar blasts also call to mind the fact that Isaac stayed in the land. He stayed in his inheritance during a time of famine. And it says that he sowed. He not only stayed, but he sowed in the land in that time. And you know what it says, that he began to prosper. He continued prospering. He became very prosperous. In fact, in the same year, he reaped 100-fold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So, Jesus said to us, Matthew 24, verse 4, take heed, especially about the end times.
It's good.
No one deceive you. So together we can get the counsel of the Lord. We do not want to get our own little thing that makes us, it's not positive for us. We want God's calling us to, and you and I, to stay on the front line.
Hallelujah.
And we're not going to chase after rumors, after fears. And there's a great scripture I came across that is as if I'd never seen it before, but I'm going to read it in more the Amplified Version, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12 through 14 says, do not call conspiracy all that these people call conspiracy. Neither be in fear of what they fear, nor make others afraid and be in dread. The Lord of hosts, regard him as holy and honor his holy name. He is your only hope of safety. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he shall be a sanctuary to you. So do not pick up other people's fears. And God is my sanctuary. And I'm not into survival. I'm into revival.
Hallelujah.
God will provide. Amen. Give the
Hallelujah.
Lord a big clap. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
It's good, Pastor.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shakaraba. Say, I have destiny.
I have destiny.
I have purpose.
I have purpose.
Let's all stand.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Karaba.
It's so wonderful. Raise your hand. Say, God, you are my sanctuary.
Lord, you are my sanctuary.
The Lord of hosts.
The Lord of hosts.
We honor him.
Yes, we honor him.
You are our sanctuary.
You are our sanctuary.
For us and our family.
For us and our family.
Hallelujah. I shall not stumble.
I shall not stumble.
I shall not fear.
I shall not fear.
I shall not jump ship.
I shall not jump ship.
God.
God.
Is keeping me.
Is keeping me.
Safe.
Safe.
Is giving me.
He's giving me.
Purpose.
Purpose.
And destiny.
And destiny.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Give him a big clap.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Take your neighbor's hand. Say, neighbor. Drop anchor. God is faithful to his promise. The Lord is with us. You have a purpose. We pray. Lord, you are my sanctuary. I'm in the eye of the storm. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Hey, praise God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Storm warriors, arise.
Glory, glory. Now, we'll take a moment to pray for people who have needs. You need to turn. The Lord told me there is someone here, maybe two or three. You need to get baptized. I usually don't take time to, but water baptism. If you are tormented often by anxieties, fears, I've found it's weird, but if you've never been baptized in water, it often is a key for deliverance because it's there as one of the sacraments in Scripture. So sometimes we just kind of go by and not take some of the steps we need. So today, I'm going to ask our healing team, prayer warriors, come and help me and tell them. You know, I try to think back, and I've always raised up a child. I never remember getting water baptized. And tell them, and we'll put your name on a list, and in a couple of Sundays or so, not too long, we will see that you are baptized in water. You or your children. I mean, they have to be kind of where they can say yes to Jesus. If you need to make a decision for Jesus, now is the time. Those watching us on the World Wide Web, if you're making a decision for the Lord, let us know right there. And thank you. As you saw, Anandi, that there are hundreds of people around the world who log on and are watching us and getting the word of the Lord from this church, this ministry, and the watch. So, hallelujah. We bless you. And let us know what your prayer needs are. I want to agree with you. We want to agree with you. If you need laying on of hands today, you are sick. Especially someone getting some, again, that shadow of infirmity is touching your back. And you are really getting tired. One side of your hip is really bothering you. God's going to give you a special touch. Come up and get prayer for that. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come up and we're going to pray for you. Hallelujah. So right now it's time to come. And after we sing, we would be dismissed. Remember, at 4 o'clock, we have a memorial for our precious brother, Walter Lee. And so you are more than welcome to come and put your arms around the family and bless them.
And hallelujah. Friday night, be here at the watch. See you at the watch on this Friday night.
Amen.
Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.